If you've enjoyed listening to Issues Etc. this year, please consider a year-end tax-deductible donation to support this worldwide outreach. You can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for keeping us in mind when you consider your year-end giving. The open to J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. Now, Bach put a lot of scripture to music, some beautiful music, music that has endured not only in the life of the church, but even outside the life of the church, beyond his musical genius. Is he just retelling the story, the basic facts, because it's a compelling story, as anyone would retell a story for an opera, so to speak, or is there more at work in Bach's work, and in particular his Christmas Oratorio, than just a narrative retelling of the Christmas facts? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. On this December the 26th, the day after Christmas, we are going to spend this hour discussing Bach's Christmas Oratorio, and then we'll study the Christmas hymn, All My Heart This Night Rejoices. Pastor Peter Bender will be our guest. Joining us to talk about J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio, cantor Kevin Hildebrand. He's associate cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary and director of the youth choir at St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Cantor Hildebrand, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. Pleasure to be with you, and Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well. Is Bach simply telling the story over again, just a narrative retelling, or is there more going on in his Christmas Oratorio than that?
Well, of course. With Bach's music, there's always more than just simply telling the story. It's replete with theological insights and wisdom and musical commentary on that theology. Very much like any of his cantatas, or when you look at some of his larger works like the large passion settings, the strict scripture text is only a portion, and I say only, with all the richness that the scripture text itself has. But then, for instance, a soloist sings part of that Christmas story, then we reflect on that through hymns and certain selected stanzas of Christmas chorales that are familiar to the hearers, as well as musical settings of theological poetry, which sort of set up more of a reflection and a commentary on that text. And there's many things to unpack in that entire composition.
Give us just the briefest of bios of J.S. Bach.
Sure. I like to say, especially to my students here at the seminary, that Bach, I think, is the most famous Lutheran in the world. Even people who aren't familiar yet with Martin Luther and his life and work, Johann Sebastian Bach is world-renowned, and I think a lot of folks, sometimes even our own Lutherans, don't realize he was one of us. He was a confessional Lutheran, and he grew up in a time and an environment rich in music. He was born in 1685 and had a very interesting childhood. He was orphaned at the age of 10, went to live with his older brother, went to school in northern Germany where music at that time, of course, was part of the core curriculum. And if you were a member of the Bach family, that was part of your, the family business was to be a musician, especially a church musician. After some short stints as organist in a couple cities in Germany, he sort of had three main jobs following that. First, he served in the city of Weimar as sort of the chapel and court musician to the Duke of Weimar. We need to think about sort of the political realm of what was Germany at that time with rulers and sort of royal employ that we don't have in our day and age. And then for a short period, he also served in a prince's court, in the Prince of Köthen, Germany, as his court musician, providing music for all the royal affairs. But then the majority of Bach's career, he spent in the city of Leipzig from 1723 to the end of his life as cantor for the city of Leipzig, where he oversaw the music of really all the churches in the city, especially they're the two primary churches where most of his church cantatas were composed for and presented. And that's where the Christmas oratorio had its genesis.
So that kind of takes us to the context question. Yep. Into what context is he composing this oratorio?
Yeah, I like to look at the oratorio as the way Bach constructed it. It's really not so much a cover to cover masterpiece like we think of, for instance, Handel's Messiah. You know, we hear that a lot this time of year in concerts, and that piece is sort of constructed as this cover to cover work, and it goes through various aspects of the life of Christ in Handel's work. But Bach's Christmas oratorio is really sort of a six-part series of cantatas. In this sort of larger scheme of a work, Bach wrote a cantata for every day of Christmas and the festivals and the days of Christmas following the Christmas Day. And these are the six sort of categories of that. It's for Christmas Day itself, and then they had church on the second day of Christmas, and the third day of Christmas there in Leipzig. And then the fourth section would be for New Year's Day, which in, liturgically is the circumcision of our Lord. And then the fifth part is the Sunday after New Year. And then the sixth and final part of what we call the oratorio is for the day of Epiphany. And so rather than in its original context, it wasn't heard from cover to cover in one sitting, but like Bach's other cantatas, these were part of the, it's sort of like another proper of the day in Bach's churches in Leipzig. The cantata served as, you know, just as the scripture readings and the hymns, you know, all have their, we have their proper assignments for the days and festivals of the church year. The cantata for J.S. Bach and his churches served as sort of like another liturgical proper based on the scripture readings and drawing theological insights out from them through the hymns and poetry he used.
The first selection that we're going to hear and get your comment on is one of the chorales, How Shall I Receive You? What should we be listening for here?
Yeah, this comes right near the beginning of the first section of the oratorio. So this would be the music for Christmas Day itself. And we've heard the narrator, the evangelist, sing the first few verses of the Christmas story from Luke 2, and there has been an aria sort of reflecting on that. And then Bach gives us this chorale. It's the Paul Gerhardt text, O Lord, How Shall I Meet You, that we sing often in Advent. But instead of using the tune that we sing it to in church or that Bach's congregation would have typically sung it to, Bach sets it to the same tune as O Sacred Head Now Wounded. And I find this is just a magnificent theological and musical statement. Here we are. It's Christmas morning. I doubt that many of us are hearing the melody of O Sacred Head Now Wounded in any of our churches on Christmas Day, unless you're hearing part of this oratorio. But what a great a theological statement Bach is making musically, that here, in the midst of starting to tell the Christmas story, that it is centered on the cross. And when we hear that tune, we know that's tied to Good Friday. We hear the cross. We know that is what that chorale tune is associated with. And so likewise, here already on Christmas, we know this is what the Christ child is here for us to live and to die.
It's one of the chorales from J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. We're talking about that Christmas Oratorio. On this December 26th, cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest, associate cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary and director of the youth choir at St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Please help us finish in the black for the eighth consecutive year by making a year-end tax-deductible gift. You can make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also contribute by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of 2015.
Clear. Concise. Consistent. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Faith Lutheran Church and School in Plano, Texas preaches Christ crucified. Join us each Lord's Day to hear law and gospel preaching and receive the Lord's Supper. Our classical preschool through grade 12 Lutheran school is second to none. The school serves home educators, too, with online classes in the high school. We are located at 1701 East Park Boulevard in Plano, Texas. Reach us by phone at 972-423-7448 or on the web at www.flsplano.org.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps. lcms.org/youthcorps. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest. We're looking at J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio on this Thursday afternoon, December the 26th. Cantor, when we hear these chorales, can you just explain to me briefly how these hymns, I mean, that's what they are really, how these hymns function in not just the Christmas oratorio, but a lot of Bach's works?
Sure. Well, a good definition of a hymn is that it's a sung confession of the faith. And that's how Bach uses them in the cantatas. That's how they function in the divine service. That's the congregation that heard them in the churches in Leipzig would have been familiar with them. And likewise, that when our congregations hear hymns and chorales that they're familiar with, it brings that to mind, and the theology that's connected to the hymn that they either hear, you know, a choir singing or instruments playing, or if they sing themselves, you know, as part of, you know, the hymn of the day or other hymns within in the service, as sort of an air of this richness of Lutheran music that flourished in Bach's day, and particularly in the city of Leipzig in these churches. It was just a natural component to include these rich hymns of the Reformation that were a regular part of churchly life for Bach and his family and for the Christian community in Leipzig, just as it is for our congregation, that he'd use those in his cantatas to continue that proclamation.
The next one we're going to hear is "Ah, My Darling Baby Jesus." What's the chorale here, and what is Bach doing with it?
Yeah, that's kind of a real literal translation of it's Luther's hymn, "From Heaven Above to Earth I Come," and this is the stanza which many people even know by memory in the translation: "Ah, dearest Jesus, Holy Child, prepare a bed soft, undefiled, within my heart, that it may be a quiet chamber kept for Thee." And this is the closing chorale of the part of the Christmas oratorio for Christmas Day itself. Like many of Bach's cantatas, they typically close with the choir singing a harmonization of a chorale, usually one of the chief hymns of that day. And so Bach closes this cantata for Christmas Day with this stanza of "From Heaven Above," using the text, "The Ah, Dearest Jesus, Holy Child." And a musical and theological thing that Bach does with that is, you know, when we sing this text, it is, rightly so, kind of a reflective prayer, what this text is. You know, prepare a bed soft, undefiled, a quiet chamber. However, Bach does something very interesting musically here. After the choir sings one phrase, then we have a little interlude with trumpets and timpani. And he often in the Christmas oratorio has the closing chorale sort of reflect the music that he used for the opening movement, the very introductory music at the beginning of the segment for today's program was from that first opening movement, and it's loud and fast and has trumpet and drums. When Bach uses trumpet and drums in his music, he often uses that when there's a royal context. To say this is, you know, the king, you know, Christ is the king. And so here there's this juxtaposition of Christ in the manger, you know, Jesus, Holy Child, and often we hear this very quiet, reflective, but then here's the interludes, trumpet and drums, the child in the manger, the child for us is also our king.
the chorales from J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio, Ah, My Darling Baby Jesus. Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest on this Thursday afternoon, December the 26th, as we look at J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. Now, I want to put a fine point on this because there's something that Bach is trying to do here, as you mentioned before the break musically. It would be a clever juxtaposition, just in terms of the music, to do something like this, to have these, the loudest of the instruments at the cradle of the baby Jesus. But again, what is he saying theologically there?
Right. Well, I think it's also this kind of, you know, it's the hiddenness of God that you see, you know, at first glance, one only sees, you know, a child in the manger and in the straw, and it's surrounded in these lowly surroundings, much like the music starts very simply. But hidden, you know, inside that, I think maybe Bach musically and theologically starts to draw the curtain back just a little bit for us to see. And that's what a theologically informed composer in the church can do, is help us see that truth of God. Now, see, it's more than what meets the eye. This is our God in the manger.
Now, the next part that we're going to listen to is a different has a different function, so to speak, in the oratorio. We've talked about the chorale. What is a recitative?
Yeah, a recitative is simply a musical form where a soloist is singing, you know, a lot of text and sort of telling the story that way. A lot of the recitatives in the cantatas or the oratorios are the scripture texts. You know, this is prose. There's a lot of text that is presented in, you know, a short period of time, typically. And it's where we get the word recite from, recitative. It's based in the same word. There's also recitatives that use non-scriptural text, and some of this theological poetry is presented that way, often sort of to set up then a longer song, an aria that the soloist will sing. And this example that we're going to listen to is an example where the bass soloist, in fact, is singing, sort of addressing the shepherds to go and see the child in the manger. The context for this is in the second part of the oratorios for the second day of Christmas, where the story about the angels coming to the shepherds is told. And after the verse from Luke 2, where the angel says, "This will be a sign to you, you will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger," there's a chorale is sung, and then a bass solo, recitative, sort of unpacks that a little bit more, saying, "Go to the manger there, shepherds, and what will you see? You'll see, you know, the Son of God in the manger being rocked to sleep." And what a creative musical thing that Bach employs here is when he gets to the point where the soloist sings, "You'll find the baby in the manger," as he's being rocked there. You'll hear the music changes, and the music is rocking back and forth, and you hear that in the orchestra. That's one of the things that a musician can help explain a text using musical tools at the musician's disposal, and I think this is a good example of how Bach puts that to work.
Here it is from J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. So then go forth, you shepherds, go.
Findet ihr des Süßen Sohn in einer harten Krippe liegen, so singet ihm als einer Wiegen aus einem süßen Ton und mit gesamtem Chor. Dies ist vor.
Cantor Hildebrand, is part of what Bach is attempting to do here is kind of construct the musical nativity scene, but more than that, not just for display, but to draw the worshiper in to that scene?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a real strong point of the Christmas oratorio, again, like many of Bach's cantatas, is it tells a story. It gives the scriptural narrative. It has recitatives and other examples that sort of expound on that text a little bit. We have chorales that reflect that. And then there's also many places where an aria will sort of apply this, you know, to the Christian's life. And I think there's many examples in here where there is the message of comfort and peace given to the Christian church, to the individual Christian. One example that I'm thinking of is in the fourth part of the Christmas oratorio. This is for the New Year's Day, or the circumcision of our Lord, where it starts out. Really, it spends very little time with the verses about that from Luke, where Jesus is brought to the temple and he's given his name, and most of that cantata focuses on, now let's reflect on the name of Christ and what does this mean for the Christian. There's a great aria in that part of the oratorio where a soprano is singing this aria about the name of Jesus and saying, is that something that's going to make you know, the Christian afraid? No. In fact, Bach underscores that with the soprano sings, you know, these words no or nein in German. And then those same musical notes are echoed by an oboe in the orchestra. And then oftentimes there's a singer, another singer somewhere else in the church, like way in the back balcony, and that singer echoes it again. So you hear this word, this answer this, of this rhetorical question, that the name of Christ doesn't bring fear, but it brings comfort. The flip side of that same aria, saying that, well, so what does this mean for the Christian and my life and my death? Should I be afraid of death? No. Because Jesus is there with me, and he says to me, yes. And the flip side to that is you know, in German, ja, and you hear the singer sing ja, and then the instrument echoes that those same notes, and you hear a singer way in the back of the church echo it. And that is just about as personal as the message you can get when it's talking about my own life, my own death, and what that means. Everything is changed because of Jesus' birth.
Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest. We're talking about J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio on this Thursday, December the 26th. He's associate cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary and director of the youth choir at St. Paul's Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back, we're going to hear the angels singing. Stay tuned.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while. To answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Listen to the best of the church's Christmas music during the entire Christmas season at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
God,
During the 12 days of Christmas, Lutheran Public Radio, lutheranpublicradio.org.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.
Historic, authentic Christian radio. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Hey, Todd, what have our listeners noticed first when visiting the LPR studios?
Definitely the small size and the dirt.
Well, not anymore. Thanks to our friends at the Cleaning Authority, they've turned this man cave into a space that meets even our wives' approval.
Whether it's our office or your home, the Cleaning Authority is your cleaning service provider in the St. Louis area.
To schedule a free estimate or to find out more, visit thecleaningauthority.com. Thecleaningauthority.com.
Imagine steadfastlutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub. Your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm. So check us out, www.steadfastlutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio with Cantor Kevin Hildebrand of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Folks, if you appreciate sacred Christmas music, be sure to listen during the final 11 days of Christmas. It's just the beginning of the season, you know. And at LutheranPublicRadio.org, we observe the Christmas season through the church's sacred music. That means beginning with Christmas Eve, we have been playing this Christmas music for the entire 12 days of Christmas, the entire Christmas season. Now, the music that you've been hearing in the world out there started about Halloween with pop Christian, well, sometimes Christian, but pop Christmas music. At Lutheran Public Radio, it's the church's music according to the church's year. You can listen absolutely free 24/7. If you want to listen 24/7 for 12 solid days, that's what you'll get. Sacred music for the world at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Kendra Hildebrand, the next thing we're going to hear are the angels singing the very familiar words from Luke's text. What should we be listening for here?
Well, there's a lot of things always to listen for in Bach's music. I will break down a couple things to point out. First of all, I think this may be one of the texts of Scripture that's been set the most often by composers, and perhaps is sung the most often by Christians. I mean, we sing this text in the Divine Service, in the Glory in Excelsis, when we sing glory to God in the highest and peace to His people on earth, glory be to God on high. Lots of hymns have been paraphrased from this text, and Bach includes this, of course, in his Christmas oratorio, and fittingly so, it begins with, it's glorious, it's big, it's the angel, you know, multitude singing, and it's exceedingly joyful and very enjoyable to listen to. When the text, however, goes to "and peace on earth," it takes what I think is kind of a surprising turn. I think what is a sort of a common worldly definition of peace is, you know, the lack of turmoil, you know, lack of conflict. You know, there's lots of sermons that have, you know, expounded on this idea of you know, what does peace mean in the church, you know, peace not as the world gives. And I think Bach brings that out a little bit in his music with this text. Yes, it gets a little softer when we hear this example. It starts out big, kind of big, fast, and loud, which is always fun. But then when we get to the "and peace on earth," it's a little softer. But instead of just being, you know, quiet and tranquil and placid, the music is kind of turbulent. It's a little chromatic, meaning that there's lots of sharps and a key change in there. It moves into a minor key, which, you know, sometimes we might think, well, that doesn't seem appropriate to sing about a piece there. It's kind of, you know, turbulent and darker than we would expect. And I think this is, again, another theological statement that Bach is making. You know, the peace that Christ brings is a peace unlike the world gives, and it comes about in a way that the world wouldn't expect. It comes through Christ's own suffering and death and his passion. And that is, I think, reflected in that musical change that happens in the music. That happens two times as Bach goes through this text from Luke 2 in this music, going to that "and peace on earth," where it gets quieter and a little more chromatic.
Cantor Hildebrandt, is Bach doing something here by stretching out what is essentially, you know, if you look at the actual text, about 15 seconds if you just read through it, if mm-hmm. you took your time reading through it, to almost 2.5 minutes? Is he saying something about the importance of this? Is he saying something about its place in the oratorio?
Well, sure. And that's one of the things that can be done musically that can't be done, for instance, just reading a text or you know, speaking the words over and over. But a composer, and particularly with theological insight, can bring that out. And sometimes a text is repeated, and it's following. There's a musical pattern that the composer is trying to bring out. That it's going into this key, and then it's going into that key, and music wants to take the sort of modulation, you know, through various keys, and then the composer will treat a section of the text differently to bring out the meaning, either a literal meaning or a theological reflection of that text. And I think that's one very positive thing about well-written church music, is that it helps us hear that text even many times. But the composer is treating that text over and over to help us hear that in a meaningful way.
We'll take another break, and we'll come back 10 more minutes on this Thursday afternoon, December the 26th, looking at J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio. Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest, associate cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. He's also director of the youth choir and St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne as well. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Keeping the message straight. Getting the message out. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Have you been too busy to get your associate's, bachelor's, or master's degree? Concordia University, Wisconsin offers 50 online educational options. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Click the Concordia University online logo and enter the program code ISSUES to waive your application fee. Concordia University, Wisconsin is here to strengthen and support the church. Lifelong Lutheran Learning. ISSUESETC.org and click Concordia University, Wisconsin online.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're looking at J.S. Bach's Christmas Oratorio on this Thursday, December the 26th. Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is our guest. Folks, we need your help, and you can help us educate a new generation of Lutherans in 2014 by making a year-end tax-deductible gift to support the worldwide outreach of Issues, Etc. You can donate by check, make your check payable to Issues, Etc. Send it to Issues, Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Here's that address again. Issues, Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a year-end tax-deductible gift online, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us in the waning days of 2013 and into 2014, especially when you consider your year-end giving. I got a question for you, because a lot of people really love Bach. This time of the year, they might put the CD in and play it around the house. Is it intended as background music, Cantor Hildebrand?
Well, I always am rejoicing when people are playing and listening to Bach in any capacity. But I think it's even more meaningful and important if there's an opportunity to do some active listening to the music with the text readily available. For instance, all these examples we've been listening to are recordings, and the text is in its original German. And for those of us who are not fluent in German or even have any clue what that's about, to have a translation right there reveals some of these examples that we're talking about. You hear, oh, the music got quieter there. Oh, well, it's reflecting what the text is singing about right there. So I think to have, whether it's the CD, a liner notes or something from a reputable website that has good translations of those texts, or while we're hearing the evangelist singing these words of scripture, I'm hearing it sung in a foreign language, but I know these verses, from Luke 2, or I know this hymn. I'm hearing it in its original languages, but I know that this hymn already, "O Sacred Head, Now Wounded," or "From Heaven Above to Earth I Come," and I can see the text in its English translation, and that makes it all the much more meaningful for the listener to sort of have an active view of what am I listening to at this point.
The oratorio concludes with a chorale appropriate to Bach's way of doing things. Mm-hmm. This one, "Now Be You Avenged," doesn't sound at the beginning like it fits at the end of a Christmas oratorio. Set it up for us, if you would.
Right. Well, this, of course, is in the sixth part, which is written for the day of Epiphany. And really the focus of this section is Herod and the wise men. And it's really not so much about the wise men and the gifts and these great treasures, but really a lot of the poetic text, reflection, and then the chorales that are chosen to go around that talk about the enemies of Christ and the church, such as Herod. This closing chorale talks about these same enemies of Christ and the church. And this literal translation that you were reading about, you are avenged, about you're avenged from all your foes. Who it's addressing is you the Christians. It's a plural pronoun here in the German, saying you, the church, you have been avenged. All of these foes, and they go on to they're named here in this chorale: death, devil, sin, and hell. Christ has shattered. In researching this a little bit more, one sort of colorful translation of the German word is pulverized. Christ has pulverized these enemies for you, so that now man's place is next to God. And this is a remarkably powerful text. And just like we heard in that first example, way back on Christmas Day, Bach uses the tune to "O Sacred Head, Now Wounded," again. And because that's the cross that chorale makes us think of, that's how Christ pulverizes, destroys these enemies of the church. But now, instead of hearing sort of a quiet, somber setting of this "O Sacred Head, Now Wounded" tune with this powerful text, again, Bach gives us sort of this musical sort of unveiling a little bit, where there's this magnificent trumpet solo in between the phrases of this chorale. It's a chorale of power and might. That's Christ's power and might hidden in the cross. The music starts to reveal that a little bit.
Thank you.
Cantor Hildebrand, your final thoughts here on Bach's Christmas Oratorio with about a minute and a half.
Sure. Well, I always rejoice in having an opportunity myself to even reflect on the music and the text of this great work. There's always opportunities to discover new insights on that. Kind of like, you know, that's what makes the hymns of the church so wonderful, that we never outgrow them. That's what makes, you know, every year we go, we hear the same Christmas story, but there's always more to be said. There's always more to be sung. There's always more to preach about. There's always more that can be unpacked. And likewise with the music of the church, and particularly with Bach's music, I also think that it helps us. We're reminded that the music of the church is so much more than just something in the background or filler or something to fill the time, but it's so much more than it. It is proclamation, it's confession. In the Reformation, they called it the living voice of the gospel, and indeed it is. And so in the hands of theologically astute composers, the song of the church, you know, really blossoms. And when the church can proclaim the same truth, you know, from both its preaching and its teaching and in its music, the church is really blessed when that happens. And Bach is a master of giving those examples to us.
Cantor Kevin Hildebrand is Associate Cantor at Concordia Theological Seminary and Director of the Youth Choir at St. Paul Lutheran Church and School in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Cantor Hildebrand, thank you very much for being our guest.
My pleasure, Todd. Thank you.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to begin a three-part teaching with Dr. John Seleska on the promises of God. We're going to be going through the promises of God to the patriarchs, the prophets, and then the promises fulfilled in the New Testament. Also tomorrow, we will discuss Handel's Messiah on the Incarnation with Dr. Joseph Hurl. That'll be very interesting. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for December is very appropriate for the season. When was Jesus really born? It comes from Concordia Publishing House, and you can find out more about this great scholarly work on the ancient calendars and the date of Jesus' birth at our website, issuesetc.org, or give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. I'm Todd Wilkin. More Issues Etc. right after this.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois. 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the Scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Cradled in historic Perry County, Missouri, the manger of the Missouri Synod, Emmanuel Lutheran Church at 453 Northwest Street in Perryville proclaims God's Word and celebrates His Supper on Saturdays at 5:30 and Sundays at 7:30 and 10 using the church's liturgy contained in Lutheran Service Book, enriched with ancient and modern hymns. For more information, call 573-547-8317 or visit www.emmanuel-perryville.org.